lesson from it. Amen. Well, as I told you, the other night, we were going to start in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and begin there in a new series of study, going through another book of the Bible. And I've done this two or three times with the Bible College. We had a study in the book of Acts, and it's a great book to study, and we would generally do that in 13 weeks or so. And we will probably be a little bit longer than 13 weeks on how we're going to travel through it, because we're going to try to touch every verse. And we didn't always do that in the Bible College. We would hit the highlights of maybe each chapter, or maybe even a group of chapters if it was dealing with a particular subject. But we're going to try to go through it just a verse at a time. That's the best way for you to get the Bible, okay? I think it's the best way for us to do that. So we're going to start there. Before we do, we're going to dismiss the young folks, let them go to their studies tonight, right? Aren't we doing that? Are you sure? You're going to stay here? Okay. All right. Going to dismiss them for a minute, but now we'll back up. All right. We'll just stay here then for a minute. All right, but we'll all turn then, if you will, to the book of Acts. And this will just be kind of an introduction into it. So if you will, you can turn over to chapter number 1. Before we do that, let's have a word of prayer, if you would, before we do that tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you for your word, and I thank you for loving us and being a blessing and giving us those things that we need tonight. I pray again, Father, just give us your direction and your wisdom as we study. And, Lord, I pray that you'd just, again, touch all of those that need a touch tonight, those that are sick, those that are just needing a visit from you, those that need some encouragement, those that need some healing, those that need just a help and an arm around their shoulder to show them that somebody cares. And we're glad that you do. And we pray, Lord, you'd bless in their lives, and then maybe they're at home listening tonight, encourage them. Maybe they're here in the house tonight, encourage them, Lord. Just bless your word, though, and use it to be an encouragement and a help to every one of us now. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, we're going to start this out, and this is a series in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And, you know, you and I just kind of shorten that down, and we talk about the book of Acts. But if you look at it, and I suppose everybody's Bible is like mine, and most of the ones that I've got, it still says that as a titling to the book. It says the Acts of the Apostles. Okay? You're like, okay, what does that really mean? Well, it is a book that most people understand as transitional in the Bible, in our New Testament side of the Bible. It's a transitional book that brings us from what we saw in Jesus, and what we saw, and Luke begins to tell us that in the beginning here, we'll get into it in a minute. But he's saying, here's Jesus. Here's the picture. You've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that give you the picture of Jesus. But then, what if? I mean, just imagine this. If you did not have the book of Acts, and then all of a sudden your Bible just jumped, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then all of a sudden Romans. And what's your question going to be? How did we get here? I mean, you're going to say, how did we get to this point? I would like to know what happened to get us to this place. Because Romans is probably a good logical place to start as far as the New Testament, as far as understanding doctrine and understanding church and some things about man and sinfulness and salvation and faith and the spiritual side of it. It's a good place to begin. It's got a whole lot of that in it. It's a good place. John's a good place to look. Also in the Gospels, it seems to be a book that's filled with the life of Jesus, and you see it from heaven's point of view. So those are both great books, but you've got to have a bridge that gets you from here to there. So how do we do that? Well, the Holy Spirit inspired a little fella here by the name of Luke to write the book of the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles. So that's what we're going to look at. And look with me tonight, if you will. We're just going to look at the first five verses. First five verses. Verse number 1. And again, this is the, the introduction, the beginning, and in the book of the Acts, chapter 1, verse 1, Luke writes and says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." That's all we want to look at tonight, is just those first five verses, and get a little bit of an introduction into this book of the Acts of the Apostles. So, again, as I say, it's going to be transitional. It's going to be it's going to be a bridge. It's going to get us, you know, from one place where we've studied and we know a pretty good bit about in the Gospels, over to the other side where, well, you and I understand it much, but it was just a big transitional period for the people of that day. And in transitions, anything you've got that's a transition, obviously the idea of transition means that there's something that's changing, and you're going to see a lot of change that comes about to us in the book of Acts to get us to the place where we are today. Now, when you think about it, and everybody's got their opinion about this, but there's a lot of folks that will say the church does not appear as we know it today until Acts chapter number 2. Now, that's one. There's one line of thought that says Jesus mentioned in Matthew 16, he said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And a lot of folks say, well, that was the day the church was born. I mean, and that's you know, maybe splitting theological hairs, whatever you want to think. But you don't see the activity. You don't see the formation. You don't see the independence of the church until you see Acts chapter number 2. Because as the writer, as Luke says here, we see the things that Jesus is doing until the day that he's taken up. Until the day that he's taken up, the church is dependent on him. I mean, you've got a group of disciples. You've got a group of Christians, and they're with Christ himself. And that's their, man, he's their support. He is their backbone. He is their somebody to lean on. He is everything to them. And he still ought to be that to us as the church today. But he's about to go away. And they've got to learn what they're to do after his ascension. They've got to learn that. And so Jesus is spending this time, that's why I say it's transitional. They've got to learn. They've still got to function as the body of Christ. But they've got to do it without his physical presence. So let's look at that. And what I want to do here tonight is let's just take that word, Acts, A-C.
Happens to
written, and you've got, as I say, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You've got all of those, but here's the story of Jesus, and one of those guys has written something before that is writing this. Well, who is it? Well, obviously, it's got to be Luke. If you look in Luke chapter number 1, he's writing to the same person. He talks about Theophilus. So whoever wrote to Theophilus before should be the same guy writing to Theophilus again, right? And that is a fellow by the name of Luke. Luke was not one of the disciples. Let me just clear that up for you, and you're thinking right off the bat. Luke was not even a Jew. It is, we don't know that absolutely, but it is understood that he was a Greek, that he was a Greek learned physician that became a companion with Paul in all of his travels, in all of his work, in all the things that Paul did. There was Luke. But Luke was a physician, okay? Now think about that. We have a guy here, and we know his name. We call him Luke, and he is termed as the beloved physician. He's not a Jew, but he's a Greek. And he probably did his educational training as a physician. There were three major schools of medicine in that part of the world at that time. There was one in Athens. There was one in Alexandria in Egypt. And there was a third one that was at Tarsus, where Paul was from. Likelihood that Luke was gone to school in Tarsus and maybe knew Paul through that, or met Paul through that. We don't know. We're not sure. We don't have all of that stuff. We don't have those. As a matter of fact, you know what? We don't know very much about Luke at all. We don't know about his conversion. We know that he is saved, but we don't ever hear about how he got saved. We never hear. And there's still a lot of the guys that work with Paul, and you see their names mentioned. We'll see many of them mentioned throughout this book, but you see them mentioned in the book of Romans, and you see them, we saw them in the book of Ephesians, and you'll see them throughout all of Paul's writings as he mentioned men that were there to help him, but we don't know exactly about their salvation. But can I tell you this? There's a lot of folks I run into every day, and they say they're saved, and I don't know about their salvation. And you know what? It's not necessarily important for me to know the very hour and day and place and events that happened when they got saved. I mean, you know, I'll just take their word for it. I'll take it on faith and by faith that they got saved if they tell me they got saved. Amen. And I believe you and I will do the same thing. Well, here's Luke, and Luke is telling us he's saved. Amen? And he's a physician. Now, the importance to me about him being a physician is this. As a physician, he is often presented with situations where he details what he learns, either being an eyewitness to it, as he is in many things, or as he is hearing it from somebody else. And a lot of these things in the Bible, Luke has heard from others. He has heard a lot of the stories of Jesus, but he listens well, and the Holy Ghost gets into it. And the Holy Ghost can use a man like that because he will write the minute details. He will get into the particular, and that's just the mind that Luke has to get into the detail. And you know what? When you're in a transitional time, moving from one thing to another, from one area of thought and one area of teaching to another, you need all of the particular details you can get. And Luke does that for us. And I'm amazed at the mind of Luke, but I'm thankful that God uses men such as that. So that we know who he is. It's a man by the name of Luke. And I want you to notice this. The greatest thing about Luke, I don't think he makes a big deal about the fact that he is a physician. Now, we probably do many times. But the big deal about him that he wants you to know is that he's a missionary. He is a missionary. As I've said, he goes along with Paul on the mission trips. He is with Paul. As a matter of fact, if you remember over the book of Timothy, when Paul is getting ready, he said, Timothy, you know, in chapter number 4, we read some of this the other night, how he talks about, he said, time my departure's at hand. And then after that, he gets in, he says, when you come, bring, you know, there's some things that he asked Timothy to bring with him. And he says, bring John Mark with you and bring Luke. Why? Because he loves Luke,
And Luke has been a good fellow laborer and a godly influence in Paul's life. And he just wants to be around those kind of folks. And I believe you notice that Luke has a mission heart. He travels with Paul and he writes this little writing that he does when you and I are looking at it. He's writing it to a man by the name of Theophilus. You see that? He says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. He's writing this like a letter or as a book, a story in a book form. He's writing it to a man by the name of Theophilus. And that name Theophilus is very interesting to us, right? I hope it's interesting to you. It is two words, Theo, T-H-E-O, Theo, and then Philus, P-H-I-L-U-S, Theophilus. And that last part of his name, Philus, is a word that you've already seen. There's a book in your Bible, Philippians. You have heard of a city called Philadelphia. One of the seven churches in the book of Revelation is Philadelphia. That name, Philadelphia, I hope you know what that means. It means the city of brotherly love, which is Phila or Philo, and Delphia means city. Philo means love. So this man's name has something to do with something he loves. Theo, T-H-E-O, Theo is a Greek prefix that means God. We talk about, you know, theology, it's the study of God, Theo. Theosophical, and that again has to do with the study of God and how he works in the world. And theocracy, God's the head of the government. All those kind of words that we throw around, that T-H-E-O means God. So that means this fella is a lover of God. Amen. I can't think of a better fella for Luke to write a letter to about the transitional part of the church than somebody that loves God, the people of God, and the things of God. And he says, I have written a former treatise. Don't let that word treatise mess with you. He just said, I have written something, which was a letter, which was the gospel of Luke. I've written that to you before. And he said, when I wrote it before, I wrote to you, O Theophilus, of all the things that Jesus began both to do and teach. He said, my other letter that I wrote was just the beginning of the things that Jesus was going to do. What do you mean? He means this. Jesus is about to do some more. He's about to do some more. He says, and you know that he did these things, he says, until the day in which he was taken up. Jesus, he said, I've written those things, and those things tell us about what Jesus did while he was here. He said, but he done some things after that I'm about to fill you in on. Amen? So that's the first thing you want to see is in the book of Acts is that little letter A, which gives us an account of what this is all about. This is a book that's going to tell us from the heart of Luke and from the Holy Spirit moving on Luke as he's writing this letter to a fellow by the name of Theophilus. He's going to tell us about the things that Jesus, he's already told us what Jesus did. He's about to tell us the things that Jesus is going to do and what he's going to do about his church. You notice there in verse number 2, he said, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Let's look at the second letter, if you will. You see, A stands for an account. C stands for the church. This is going to be a book about the church. You and I need to understand as much as we can about the church. Why? Because we're part of the church. I want to know where the church came from. I want to know the ins and outs of the church. I want to know the specifics as much as I can about the church. I want to know the prominent people as much as I can of the church. And you're about to see them in this book of Acts. You're about to see some great stories. You're about to see some great miraculous things. You're about to see some great people. You're about to see some real good stuff about the church. This is not a bedtime story. This is not a, let me tell you, a story about, you know, a fellow by the name of Paul necessarily, or a fellow by the name of Peter necessarily. They're going to be included, but it's a story about the church. The account you're about to get is the church and the things about the church. So notice what Luke says here. He says, I'm going to tell you about all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He says, to whom also he showed himself alive by, or after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining unto the kingdom of God. He said, and being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. He said, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you've heard of me. He says, for John, this is Jesus still speaking, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. So Jesus is talking to them. As I said, this is, he's teaching the church. How did he do this? Well, right here it tells us this, that Jesus taught them after his resurrection for 40 days. Isn't that what you get out of that? It says in verse number 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. He was seen of them for 40 days. 40 days, Jesus is there after his resurrection teaching his disciples and telling them, getting them ready for the things that are to come. He's given them. Why is that? Well, first of all, I want you to realize this. You see that Jesus is still the head of the church. He's still the head of the church. I mean, Jesus is doing the teaching. What does that tell you? He's still in charge. And Jesus is giving them the information that they're going to need because they're getting ready to be that living body after his ascension. They're going to be the living body of Christ, and he's trying to give them everything that they need to know. How are we going to carry on? Jesus said, let me teach you. And he does it for 40 days. And then you know the story. They tarry in Jerusalem for 10 days till the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after the Passover. That's where you get your Pentecost from. Penta means 5 or 50 in this case, 50 days. And that's what you've got, Pentecost. You've got 50 days between Jesus' resurrection and the day the Holy Spirit comes on the church. It's a number 50. You've got that. So anyway, Jesus is teaching them during this 40-day period. He lets them stay by themselves for 10 days. Not by themselves, but without his presence and in physical form. But and he tells them, wait. You know, sometimes you got to wait. Isn't that horrible? But, boy, I hate when I have to wait. But sometimes you just got to wait. And Jesus is still the head of the church. Even while they're waiting, Jesus is still the head. So you see in this church, you see, first of all, he's still the head of the church. But then I want you to notice this. He has a particular hour for the church. That's why I say he's got them waiting. Look, it said, being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. He said, there is coming an hour that's going to be the hour of the beginning of my church. He said, I want you to be ready for that. I want you to be ready for it. He's the head of the church, but now he gives them and says, here's I've got an hour that's coming for the church. I've got a time that I've set aside where the church is coming to into its blossom, into its place. He said, and so you need to get ready. Be ready for the hour of the church. And not only that, you see that Jesus will still have his hand upon the church. You see how he's got his hand upon them? He said, you're going to wait for the promise of the Father, which you've heard. What is that promise? He said, well, John baptized folks with water. He said, but I'm going to baptize you, and ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus is still going to have his hand on the church through the promise of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? He's still going to be in charge, and he still is today in charge of the church, and we experience that through the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen? Isn't that a good thing to know? So he tells them, the A stands for an account. The C stands for the church. I can't even spell Acts. Can I? A, B. I'll give you the ABCs of Acts. The C stands for the T. Okay. I think this is an important thing that you see here. The T, I believe it stands for teaching. The teaching. I believe, really, if you look at this whole book of Acts, I mean, there is preaching that goes on. But it's more of a teaching vehicle for us. It's more of a teaching process. And I believe the T stands for teaching. Look at verse number 1. And this is what Luke said. Luke says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and what? And to teach." Look at verse number 2. "Until the day he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments." He taught his apostles whom he had chosen. And then look in verse number 4. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded," or taught them, "that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." He is doing the teaching all along this line. And brother, let me tell you, if you need to learn some things and you want to get grounded in some good ideas and thoughts, as I say, during this transitional time from the days of Jesus to the days of the church, right here's your bridge. It is your teaching tool right here. You've got it in the book of Acts. It helps you to understand a whole lot of what's going on. Well, what are they about to understand? Well, first of all, let me tell you this. They're going to understand about their sending. The church is going to understand about the fact that, what Jesus is doing. It says he taught them through the Holy Ghost, given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. What did he choose them for? He chose them so that he might send them. He's about to send them on the mission of the church. Why? Hey, they're going to get taught so they can reach out and teach others. Isn't that what Paul says in his writing to Timothy? He said, "These things that you've learned of me," he said, "commit thou to faithful men who may be able to teach others also." I mean, this thing is a teaching ministry. Now, never belittle the preaching part of the gospel. I mean, preaching is primary. Preaching is important. But can I tell you, the teaching side of things also has to be there. You can preach to folks and they can get saved. But somebody's got to do some teaching to those disciples so that they may grow. You got to grow. I mean, it's good to have emphasis on evangelism in a church. Great. Try to get people saved. But let me tell you, I believe God's going to hold me and other pastors accountable for how we help to grow the sheep after that the sheep were birthed. Amen? I mean, that's just part of it, right? You got to feed them. You got to care for them. You got to love on them. You got to take them to the right places to feed. You got to take them by the water. You got to help them when they're wounded. You got to watch out for them when the enemy's right. I mean, that's all part of this teaching process that is about to be done. So that's why I say a lot of this is about teaching. And you see they're sending. But not only that, you see they're serving. Look in verse number 4. He says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which," he said, "you have heard of me." In other words, he said, look, y'all wait. And he's commanding them, don't depart. He said, because I'm about to send you forth into your place of service. You're about to go from Jerusalem and get further and go into the place of your service. You're gonna be sent, but it's not just that he's sending them. He's sending them to serve. Amen? I mean, you and I need to understand that. Jesus has saved us. And Jesus is sending us out into the places round about us, but he's sending us with the heart. We ought to have the heart to do some serving toward him. There ought to be some service in this sending that Jesus has done for us. Thank God that he saved us, and thank God that he's sending us. But thank God, while you're there, do some serving. Amen. I mean, serve somebody. Boy, I'll tell you, one of the greatest lessons any of us can learn is how to be a servant for God. And you know what that looks like? Somebody said, you know what servants do? They serve. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Boy, that's deep, isn't it? That's real theology right there, preacher. Yeah, well, servants serve. And that means you and I, we serve the Lord, but we also serve our community. We serve our families. We serve our loved ones. We serve people that are close to us. And we serve people that don't even deserve our service. We're to give that service to them. Amen? Jesus tells the story about the man that went from Jerusalem down to Jericho, fell among thieves. You know that story? And he's beaten and robbed and left to die. And the Levite, the priest comes by and he passes by on the other side. Said, I can't deal with that. The Levite comes by, same thing, passes by. But it says a certain Samaritan came by. And he stopped and he went to him and he bound up his wounds and he ministered to him and he put him on his animal and took him to the inn and paid his bill. He did. And Jesus looks at the fellow that's asked him the question and says, who do you suppose is a neighbor to him? He said, I suppose he that had mercy on him. And Jesus said, right, that's what you're supposed to do. Serve people. But he didn't know him. He wasn't the same kind of people as he was. He wasn't necessarily a friend. But you're still supposed to serve them. Amen? We're still supposed to be the servants of God. Jesus is getting these men ready to go be servants. They're going to serve in some capacities that they never thought of, never dreamed of in their life. Especially somebody like Paul. Saul, the great Jewish Pharisee guy, is about to turn into a servant of the Lord. What does he say when he does his writings? He says, servant of Jesus Christ. Amen? And you'll see a lot of the other men, as they write, they will say that they are simply the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they want to serve God. And these men are about to learn through this teaching. It's going to show them about their sending. It's going to show them about their serving. And then again, it's going to show them about their dependence upon the Spirit. Verse number 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. The Spirit. We need the Spirit of God. Amen? I mean, we still need it today. The Bible says that Jesus has told his disciples that in verse number 2, it says here, until the day, Luke says, till he was taken up, after that he, what? Through the Holy Ghost. Through the Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles. He charged them. He taught them. He was sending them. And all that happened through the Spirit. He said, there's a promise of the Spirit. They're about to find it out in Acts chapter number 2. Somebody has said this, and I was reading one of the commentators, and they said there's a lot of people that look at chapter number 1 of the book of Acts, and they say, how useless is that? They don't do anything in Acts chapter number 1. I mean, we'll go through it. We'll look at it. But it's just like, it's more like, you know, when you go buy a car, and you're all hyped up about the car, right? I mean, you get in there and that thing, boy, it smells like a new car. I mean, you get out there and you look at it and it's all prettied up and all shiny. And you get in there, you turn that key, vroom, 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 boy, you're thinking about squealing out and tearing tires off and hitting the road and, boy, all that stuff, right? You know what them dummies do? They say, well, we've got to go into the business office and take care of the paperwork. I'd just as soon watch paint dry. I mean, I hate that part of it, don't you? Sign here. And I'm thinking, I could be out there driving that lovely car if you'd just shut up and get over this part of it. Well, this is kind of like that. This is the paperwork part. You need to go. You've got to go through. You've got to. It's part of it. It's a necessity, even though sometimes we can't see the use of it. It's pretty valuable in the end. In case anything were to come up in the little fine print and the signing of the signatures and the legal stuff that's all in there, you know, you got to have it. But sometimes it ain't. You say, let's get to the exciting stuff. Well, we're going to in chapter number 2. It'll get more exciting. But chapter number 1 is just getting you there, okay? We're just doing the paperwork, all right? But in doing this paperwork, we're talking about how that Jesus is preparing these disciples. And it's through the Spirit of God. All right, let's look at that S real quickly. We'll finish up. And the S, I'd say this, the S talks about the Savior. I mean, this whole thing is about the Savior. It's about the church, but buddy, it's about Jesus more than anything, isn't it? I mean, Jesus, he's the leader. Again, as I said, he's the head of the church, but thank God, let me tell you, he is the leader that's going to be in charge of this whole endeavor. I want us to see him in everything, and you've got to see that it's the Lord that deals in everything that goes on. I mean, he shows up here in chapter number 1 and teaches them. He's going to show up in chapter number 2 and empower them and challenge them and get them motivated and begin to build his church. And then you go in chapter number 3. We're going to see how that the Lord touches that man that had been lame from his birth, and how that he jumps up and leaps and runs through that. And then we're going to see how the Lord stood with Peter and John as they stood against the Sanhedrin. You're going to begin to see the Lord, and he's going to begin to do some things, okay? So this book is going to be about the Savior. It's going to be about Jesus. And boy, one of the great things is over in chapter number 4, when Peter tells the Sanhedrin guys, he said, this man that you see, the crippled man that was there at the gate, he said, this man, he said, you see him? He said, hey, it's by the name of Jesus that he stands before you whole this day. He said, for there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Amen. So Jesus is going to be prominent throughout this entire book, and he should be. He is throughout the entirety of the Bible. Sometimes we have to peel back the cover, but he's there, okay? So it's about Jesus because he's the leader of this thing. It's about Jesus because he's the lover of all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus is the lover of all of us, of everyone that's ever been born into the humanity of mankind. Jesus loves them. Well, the little kids know that, don't they? What do you mean? They sing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Amen? I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. Jesus loves us. He loves us. And then last of all, we know this, he's the Lord. I mean, he's going to be the Lord of everything. As I said, he's the leader, he's the lover, but more than anything, he's the Lord. He is the Lord of the Old Testament. He is the Lord Jesus of the four Gospels. And now he is going to be the Lord of glory that leads his church into the battles and the issues that lay before it. He's going to be there. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Well, as I say, we're just going to get started there tonight and just look at these few little things. But that's a little brief introduction into the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And that's what we're going to look at. Now, please understand me. I am saying A-C-T-S. A lot of folks like to change it to an A-X. Preacher, we got the book of Acts, and we're going to pull out our Acts. And some of them get in chapter number 2, and they think they're talking about an Acts and two 38s, 38 guns. But no, we're that's a good verse in Acts 38. Peter talks about repent and be baptized. Some folks think that's what you need, an axe in one hand, two 38s in another, and we can go save the world. Amen. They better get saved. Well, not hardly that way, but the Lord Jesus is going to lead us through that. Amen. All right. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's